You know what, Sam?
What?
It's 3-0, baby. 3-0.
That is rats.
Coming to you from the heart of Kane's country, this is the Kaniac Report, your number one source for everything Carolina Hurricanes, hot takes, predictions, game analysis, and NHL news. And now your hosts, Sam Wallace and Sam Driscoll.
All right, we're back with another episode of the Kaniac Report. And yes, Sam, we are up 3-0 in the series, and we have a returning guest on from the last episode, which did pretty good, Brandon from The Warning Take.
Thank you for having me back again, guys.
It's always fun to celebrate wins with friends, right?
Absolutely.
Definitely when you have a storm brew drinking too, which I had. So great game. We'll talk about the game here soon. But Sam, let's just go through a couple of big NHL news. Well, actually, first, before we even get to that, we have a great partnership with SeatGeek. You get $20 off of your first purchase with SeatGeek if you use code or promo code KNACReport, all one word. It is a very great deal. And also, we have a link for donations. If you feel like you want to donate, the link is in the episode descriptions below on every episode. So, Sam, a couple NHL news, and Brandon, you can chime in too, but there are a couple of coaching transactions this week around the league. One of them was Buffalo rehires Lindy Ruff, and San Jose fires David Quinn. So,
well,
which
Brandon
one
and
talk
I.
About first?
Well, Brandon and I went in pretty detail about Lindy Ruff in the last episode. So if you have any thoughts on that, Sam, feel free to share those.
We'll see how that goes. It was a pretty quick coaching search, I thought.
Yeah. I thought
so
they were
I don't
going to
know
take
if
their
they did
time.
A good job of doing an in-depth search, but if they think that's their guy, I mean, then go after him. I'm sure there are probably coaches that feel that way, probably, of being like, hey, you know what? If that's your coach, hire him right there. Don't just have this huge, long process. So I could see that as well. But if they want Lindy Ruff, okay. We'll see how that goes. This news dropped very recently, and that is San Jose firing David Quinn. What do you guys think of that move?
You can go ahead first, Sam.
I don't think he's the problem. I mean, have you looked at San Jose? It's the roster's general manager. If you want to blame the coach to give yourself a little bit of extra time, sure. But their biggest problem is they refuse to admit they're going into a rebuild, and that's what's been their downfall. It's not David Quinn. He's fine. It's the general management and
well,
the roster. That roster is never going to win.
Mike Aguirre is the general manager of San Jose, and I agree with you. I don't think it's David Quinn's fault because Mike Aguirre, you've traded Erik Karlsson, Brent Burns, who is now a Hurricane. Thank you for that trade. And Thomas Hertl to Vegas. So I'm like, how can you fire a coach on a team that's already really bad without stars? Like, I mean, you agree with that, Brandon?
Yes. The only thing I can think of as to why they went ahead and fired David Quinn is they've got a handshake agreement in place with someone that they at least perceive as an upgrade. I know that Woodcroft is probably going to have a job relatively early on come summertime. That might be him. And, you know, Woodcroft had a lot of assets to work with in Edmonton, and he managed them pretty well, in my opinion. I don't think he was the problem there. Had anybody other than Connor McDavid potentially been the one said, hey, I want a coaching change and hire this guy that I recommend, then maybe he's still there.
Yeah.
But I would definitely think that they've got some sort of different long-term plan, but I can't really see how a coach is a problem when they traded Tomáš Hertl within the division to a contending team that they hate
Yeah,
and got hardly
exactly.
anything back.
They probably wanted to dump the contract, would be my guess.
Yeah, that's the only thing I can think of is they're going to try to make several really good free agent splashes to accelerate the rebuild, but that just hasn't really worked in the salary cap era. Free agents have to be supplementary, not pieces that you rebuild a team around. It's just, it doesn't work that way.
Columbus being a prime example of a team trying to do that.
Yes, exactly. They thought they could just bring in a bunch of, they could bring in Gaudreau and go from there. And no, that doesn't work nowadays. You can't buy rosters until the playoffs.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, you really can't. Part of rebuilding is having, I think, a good development team. And I think Carolina has one of the top, even though I might be a little bit biased. I think it's true.
Oh no, you're absolutely right, because think about how many of our prospects are coveted. The Vultures were circling on Scott Morrow because he was finishing up his degree within the window to be able to not have to go back to school for a fourth year, so he would become a UFA. Carolina went ahead and took care of that. He developed really well already. His time will come. It's the same thing. Nick Hischin, really, a lot of people are excited about him. Rykov is getting more attention now. No, Carolina has definitely made leaps and bounds with the prospect development thing. Because if you think about it, just a few years ago, our top prospects were Victor Rask and Jake Bean and guys like that. Funny saying those names now.
I
Yeah.
especially Victor Rask.
It's
Oh,
odd God, I
because
liked him, man. I hate that he fell off a cliff the way he did.
I think
oh,
Jake
he
Bean's the
did.
only guy still playing in the NHL of those two as well.
Yeah, and I don't think he's going to be there much longer.
He's what, in Columbus?
Yeah, we
Well,
traded him.
they have such a logjam on defense. You have Bean, you have Damon Severson, you have Adam Boqvist, you have all these defensemen. In Columbus, you only have six spots.
And they got Provorov now too, because they
Yeah,
got him
Provorov.
at the
Yeah.
beginning of the season. I think they just said, let's get the best defenseman on paper we can, throw him in a blender and see what happens. And they didn't think it through like the way that Carolina did with structuring their defense. It's like, okay, Slavin here, Pesce there, put someone here, put someone there. Next thing you know, everything falls into place after a couple of seasons.
Yeah, definitely. So that's all for NHL news. Now we're gonna get to some Hurricanes news, and this was released today. Sad to hear, but Jesper Fast was apparently an injury update happened on Fast, and looks like he's going to be out for the remainder of the playoffs. That sucks. It really does. Now here's the thing: you knew there were going to be injuries heading into the playoffs, and while that sucks, at the same time, I do think we have the depth to cover that. And I think KK's been playing pretty good in his place.
Yeah, I mean he's done fine. Yeah, I think he had a really good game tonight. I mean that line played pretty good tonight. And I thought KK played pretty well the night before. It's just an unfortunate thing for Faust. He deserved a chance to run, for the cup too, I think. So I think it's an unfortunate situation. But it goes to show this team has the depth, right? They have the depth to compete. And I think with Jarvis getting banged up today, Chatfield getting banged up today, I think it's really going to behoove this team to finish this out on Saturday, where it's like, oh, 10 days off, that's going to suck. I think it's going to be really beneficial for maybe some of these guys who tweaked something, especially tonight, to be fine because they played the rest of the game. But I mean, you don't want to have anyone else be out for the whole playoffs like Fast.
It's going to start piling up at the worst possible time. And I'm wondering what it is with Foss, because they said neck strain a few days ago and that he might even be on the trip. And then now all of a sudden he's going to be out for what looks like the duration of the postseason. The good news is if we do win the cup, he can at least get his name on it because he has greater than 40 games played.
Yes.
Wonder if he broke his neck. That's my biggest fear for him, because that's what I
Ew,
kind of
that's not good. You saw how long it took Erik Cole to come back from that.
so that ended more or less didn't end his career, but it drastically changed his career. I think
Yeah.
Erik Cole would have been significantly better, had a lot more points, and had truly been an all-star if that injury never happened.
Yeah, and the scary thing about it is they told him what could potentially happen to him when he played in game seven. He did it anyway. Like,
Didn't care.
he didn't care. I mean, guy was an animal anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it sucks losing Foss, but I think KK's played very well. And I mean, I hope him and I hope Pesce comes back too. I mean, that's another player too. I thought D'Angelo played pretty good though,
He only made
in
one
his
mistake. And
Ended
that
up in the
was
back of the net.
One mistake. That was it.
he made one and it ended up in the back of the net. It was like, but one thing I noticed with him and Shea, offensive zone starts are significantly more dangerous when that pair is out there.
Yes.
They generated a shot attempt every single time they had possession, it seemed like, when there was an offensive zone draw. Maybe it wasn't every single time, but it was a bunch of them. That's going to come in handy, you know, should we advance to the next round and playing against a team like the Rangers, where we're going to have to put them on their heels and keep them there probably for 7 games. That's going to be very useful.
Yeah, I thought Tony played very good this game. I was impressed. I thought he played well defensively. I mean, I really don't feel like, I mean, yeah, that goal's on him, but I mean, what do you can't blame him on the three the Islanders scored the game before, or the one they scored the game before that. So, I mean, there are fault players at fault on these things, and sometimes it just happens. But I really felt Tony was very good tonight coming in a situation where he hadn't played since Columbus. So it's been a little while. He played very well defensively, and he created offense. I thought he had a couple good shots, and I need to apologize to Brent Burns when we get to the
Yeah,
game.
he
He
was
was
great.
he really was great. Well, I mean, that's all for Hurricanes news. So now let's get to the win, which was really probably nerve-wracking through the last 10 minutes.
Yeah.
But before we do, let's get to our sponsor.
The chase for the Stanley Cup is on, and if you're looking to light the lamp, nothing beats the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. From the start of playoff beers all the way to the hoisting of the cup, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boost, and so much more. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code THPN. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code THPN only on DraftKings. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 8778-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/ice for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, responsible gaming resources. Copyright NHL 24, all rights reserved.
Okay, that game. I thought that was a bit of a little bit of a roller coaster game a bit. I thought the Islanders played a good third period. I thought Carolina played a good second period. Maybe first period was a little bit more even. I thought, what were your guys' thoughts for, with the tone of the game?
I think you saw again that the Islanders threw the kitchen sink at the Hurricanes. This is probably their best game, and it was not good enough again. The Islanders do not have the capability to win. If you think they're going to come out and win game four, that's possible. They're going to be a cornered animal, so they're probably going to find another level that they technically don't really have. But you know they're going to have to find it. But if you want to talk about what we saw tonight, the last third period, that was the best they had,
It
and
was.
they was not enough. Again, it just was not enough. The Islanders are not good enough to hang with Carolina, and we have not played our best hockey. Not by a long shot have we played our best hockey,
Not for more than a few minutes at a time.
I saw something online today that said championship teams find a way to win even when they don't play their best hockey.
Exactly.
And that is what the Hurricanes have done. They have found a way to win without playing their best hockey. So just imagine when we start to play our best hockey, which I think will show up in the second round. I really do, especially when it bumps up. I feel this team knows they're better than the Islanders, and they know that this isn't as it's a challenge, but not as big of a challenge as the Rangers are going to be. Maybe they're just not digging deep enough for that reason. I don't know. But there is another level this team can get to. And we saw that down the stretch in the regular season.
Yeah, that's there's definitely more that they can do. We haven't seen like 1.5 point per game Jake Guentzel just yet, but I think we will. We're gonna have to if we're gonna win. So for sake of, talking about what the highest probability here is, facing the Rangers the next round. Even though let's really wait on game three with them at least before we even definitively say that. But that looks like the likely matchup at the moment. This is one of those times where you already got to start thinking about what do you do differently against the Rangers that you could not do against the Islanders and be effective. The Rangers are not going to try to go to the front of the net every single chance they get and score a bunch of greasy goals. They get clean looks from the high slot. They shoot a lot from the top of the circle with efficiency. They pass really well. Keeping them on the perimeter will not be as effective as it was against the Islanders. All the goals the Islanders have scored, except for I think two of them in this entire series, have been in really close. The Rangers don't play like that. So you're also going to be dealing with, I anticipated that the goaltending for the Islanders would be better in the series. It surprisingly has not. Shesterkin, we are probably going to have to deal with good goaltending. Yes.
I mean, I think far be it from me to disagree with Patrick Waugh, who's one of the greatest goaltenders of all time. I wonder if it was a mistake to start with Waugh.
I think he's wondering that too. Yeah.
Because Sorokin is the better goaltender. Maybe he has not played the better goaltender, but Sorokin is the better goaltender, and you stuck him in tonight cold. He hadn't played in over a week, if not longer than a week. Yeah, he's going to be a little icky. And yeah, Varlamov came in and shut the door. But Varlamov is not a goalie who I'm going to be like, oh yeah, Varlamov, he's going to steal a game. Sorokin, I look at and I'm like, oh, he could steal a game. So I think that may have been a mistake. At least that's my
Yeah.
thought. I think that may cost him a series, but we'll see.
See, I wonder if that was a mistake too. And it makes you wonder, like, you go back to thinking about game two and be like, was that truly on Varlamov? I argue no. I thought that was a co total team collapse. It was not just on Varlamov. The Islanders just stopped skating. And that was how we were able to win. So I do think Patrick Ross is just regretting probably starting Sorokin, because I mean you look at the goals. Brent Burns, that was a nice snipe from the blue line. I mean that's a goal that I think Sorokin could have had. You've had Orlov scoring. I was a little bit surprised Sorokin couldn't stop that, and the Aho goal. Like
Yeah.
those are, I mean, not the world's best shots.
And two of those three hit the goalie on the way in. The Burns one hit him a little bit and went by him. The Aho one clipped him just underneath the shoulder and went in. So it's like the one thing that I can think of that what Patrick Waugh was thinking when he put Sorokin in net, and this was something I was saying on my live show that you guys came on with me earlier before you guys came on, with him making a goaltending change like that between games is not too dissimilar from making one during the game. It's a way of trying to galvanize your bench and be like, hey guys, get your stuff together. You're not playing well. I guarantee you, he said something like that. He's put Sorokin in the net and he said, okay, Sorokin's starting the next game. You have no more excuses. Everybody in front of him needs to play well. And to a great extent, they did, but it wasn't enough. This is just one of those times where they're outmatched. And Carolina just has to keep doing what they're doing. Don't take your foot off the gas. Treat tomorrow or treat Saturday like game one. But
Exactly.
close it out, get it over with.
Yeah, I mean, and if you don't win, it's not the end of the world. You have three more tries to end it.
Yeah, and two of them at
So,
home.
yeah, so I mean, yeah, you should win one of those games. So, if it's not game four, it'll probably be game five. But I think Carolina has shown, and I've been right. I'm the only one who said it would be a sweep, and right now I'm looking pretty good
Yeah.
about that.
Because I said five and I'm
I
looking
said
like a
five
fraud right.
too.
Yeah, I'm looking like a fraud right now. I even like cited a whole bunch of metrics and stuff while I thought it was going to be five, and I'm like, eh, I better not quit my day job.
I mean, I just everything I've seen about the Islanders, and I just look at them compared to Carolina. They have the worst penalty kill. They have a very sub power play. Their best players, Barzal and Horvat, and I don't think they're much of anything. Lee's fine, Nelson's fine, but I don't think they're anything to write home about. And Carolina, you just look at the Hurricanes roster. I mean, after those players I mentioned, I can't think of a whole heck of a lot that the Islanders have. And I'm like, oh, if they're dangerous. But Carolina, I don't think it matters.
The closest
Who
one
are
for Islanders is Barzal. But even then, you look at tonight's game, I didn't really notice Barzal on the ice.
Oh no,
Did
they
you?
shut him down. It's every single shift. Like, well, we were talking a little bit earlier about matchups and everything, how they would end up not really being that relevant in terms of the Islanders being able to have last change and everything. That's exactly what happened. You look at the first two games, Barzal and Horvat and Cizikas, they got matched up against Jordan Staal's line and they didn't produce a ton. And in this game, Aho's line was up against them a lot, it seemed like, and they had basically nothing. Not enough to, make it a closer, or they kept it close, but not enough to win. So, and I was waiting on Wah to try and pull, and I said the same thing in our little group chat. I was thinking Wah was going to pull him at the 4 minute mark, pull Varlamov at the 4 minute mark. He couldn't get him out. They
No,
couldn't
he
establish
couldn't.
enough pressure in our defensive zone for him to come out. Every time that he started to come out, we were already at least back in the neutral zone headed that way.
I said to Sam and our the friends that we had over, I was like, Varlamov is like, dudes, I have not skated this much in 10 years. Let me get off the ice instead of back and forth. So yeah, I mean, we just dominated the Islanders in the last 3 minutes of the game. They had zero opportunity to tie it. They had maybe a couple of looks, but nothing that I would say would be like, oh, that was close. But Carolina shut them down. And that's the reality of it is it's when the Islanders start to panic, they're not gonna, they just can't. Because they try to play outside of their game, and the last 3 minutes of the game is not how the Islanders like to play.
No, it's not. In fact, I would argue that this whole game was kind of different from the first two games in the fact that they didn't really play a tight defensive game, I thought. I thought the game
No.
was more wide open.
No, Carolina had to work really hard in game two to put up 110 shot attempts or however much it was.
They
Like, they didn't
did.
give them a ton of open ice and they blocked a lot of shots. But then tonight, where it's like they were a little bit more even at certain points, but when Carolina needed to take advantage, they did. So that's why they produced when they needed to. So, yeah, I think that I'm kind of worried about how they're going to play in game four because they were not nearly as physical tonight as I expected them to be. I thought that it was going to be hit after hit after hit, at least through probably the first two periods. There was hardly any physicality.
Wanting to see the Hurricanes were probably wanting to see what the Islanders were going to do, and the Islanders were probably wanting to see what the Hurricanes were going to do, because the Islanders were probably shocked, like, huh, they are out physical, they're being more physical than we are, and that's not what we're used to. So yeah, I think the Islanders are going to simplify in game four, and they're going to be nasty, they're going to be tough, they're going to take shots because they have zero to live for.
Yeah.
And
Carolina was good about being disciplined after the whistle tonight, too.
yes,
Yeah.
very much so. And I
They tried
have
to play a
to
different type of game and it didn't work
no.
with the
And
Islanders.
I must apologize to Brent Burns because no one was a bigger critic than me. And the dude scores in like the first 5 minutes of the game on an absolute laser from the point.
What did we say about
And
scoring early, though? Remember.
yeah.
Put them back on their heels, and that's what we did. It took
Yeah.
the second goal, I think, to really take the crowd out of it.
Yes, it
But
was
after that, it
quiet.
was a library.
Oh, it was like a yeah, it was very quiet in that arena, and you could tell. Now, we let them back into this game, and I don't want to sugarcoat that. We allowed those things to happen. Now, I would say the second Islander goal was very lucky. I don't think it was anything more than
Yeah.
lucky. It was a perfect, well, the definition of a perfect bounce. Otherwise, this game is 3-1.
I didn't like the first goal because it seems I can't remember who scored for the Islanders, but it seemed like he was just wide
Engvall.
open in front of the net.
Yeah, it was Engvall. It was that one. That's the one I was kind of placing on Tony. I know he was going to he was trying to deny entry at the blue line, but he kind of left Shea all alone out in front to deal with it, and he was already trying to cover somebody else. So that was just it was just one of those broken plays. We weren't going to go through this entire series without getting scored on, but like I said, the biggest value I see in a Tony and Shea pair is what they do off of offensive zone draws. They generate a lot of offense.
Yeah, they really do. But yeah, I thought Burns played really good.
Burns was excellent.
I mean, I actually thought the KK line had its best night tonight out of the games. I thought the KK line was really good. KK, I think, is very good defensively. He can be physical as well. I've liked Tarja Vinen's game since the first game. I think he's plays really good. What
The
are your
only thing he
thoughts?
did the only thing he did tonight that I got mad at was when I think it was him and Chatfield had that 2-on-1. The
Oh
one
yeah.
time I wish he just held up and passed it, he shot it and it went higher than Megan Rapinoe's penalty kick. And I was like, bro, like, are you trying to kick a field goal? What are you doing? And that's why I
Yeah.
posted the JFK meme again with his name on it.
That was like a okay, yeah, I thought the same thing. I was
I was
like,
like, how did that not
really,
go out of play?
J-Lo? The one time you don't pass, Mr. Pass First takes
Pass only
his.
sometimes.
And
Yeah.
I'm like, look, I know Rod wants you to shoot more, but come on, man.
Yeah, wrong net, bud. You're not supposed to be shooting at the one above the glass designed to protect the crowd.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I thought that line was really good. I'm trying to think of, yeah, you guys think of any other stand? Oh, Anderson. Gotta talk about
Yes.
Anderson.
Oh, so you guys were watching the Bally broadcast, I'm guessing, right?
Yes.
Okay, that first crazy save that he made on Noah Dobson, I think it was. Buchagras couldn't have acted like that was any more of a mid above average save than what he did. I need to clip it and I need to get the Bally broadcast and make a video comparing them because they were just like, wow, what a cool save. And Kevin Weeks was in the booth with him. You think if anybody's going to appreciate it, it's going to be him. He was a goalie.
Exactly. For the Hurricanes.
Yeah, and the Islanders.
Oh, that's
He played
right.
for both of them.
I mean, Anderson, I thought he's almost pretty much stood on his head. Like, so many jaw-dropping saves. Probably the most impressive one was the last one he made when he was interfered with. It wouldn't have been a goal because he
I
was
would hope
interfered with.
not.
No, that was not a that would not have counted. If it had counted, I would have rioted.
Yeah, that's the one thing I worry about though, because they changed the standard by the hour. But I would definitely say Freddie was our best player tonight. Those
Yes.
big saves he made definitely kept everybody in front of him motivated. This has been Aho's best game of the playoffs, and I'm not just saying because of the snipe. Like I said, I think that he's a different player on the road. I thought his 200-foot game was good tonight. His defensive game was good. He didn't get waved out of the circle a million times like he did in game two, because
Yeah.
I swear to God, every time he went to take a faceoff, he was getting waved out. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
I thought
so.
Fetch had a good night too. He had a great pass to
Yes.
Orlov.
Yes, he did. Svech had 2 points tonight.
He did.
Um,
Yeah, he might have.
and I'm just curious. So, one of the things I just saw on Twitter or on Facebook and just kind of on social media is the Islanders are saying they should be up 3-0 in the series.
They
I'm
give up
like,
110 shot attempts
really?
in one game and they should be up 3-0 in the series.
One of them was like, no, maybe 2-1. And I'm like, what? Like what games are you watching? I mean, it's just like delusional. Like that is delusional. Like I understand being delusional. I was delusional. Okay, all Hurricanes fans are a little delusional about that Florida series. Okay, we got swept.
What?
We all say that wasn't a sweep, right? But it's still a sweep.
It
I
was.
understand. I understand being delusional, and I respect it. It's called being a fan. It's called having passion for your team. But I wanted to ask, do you think the Islanders should be up 3-0 in this series?
No.
Because it made me laugh.
No.
I understand maybe the first game because I thought the Islanders
Yes.
played the best in the first game. But the
So
second
maybe
game.
2-1.
Second game, I mean, we reeled the Islanders after that power play goal that Teravainen had. Islanders were on their heels. This game, I mean, I thought their best was third period. That was it.
Yeah, because when the pressure really got on the last 10 minutes, the Islanders, like, if they've been playing like that the whole series, it would probably be 2-1 one way or the other. But
Yes.
like it's just it wasn't until they were in a really desperate position they started playing like that. I will not be surprised if they play like that the entire game on Saturday.
Yes.
That's the only thing that like I could really imagine with that. But they came in with 16 overtime losses. They couldn't close out games 5-on-5. That's why they couldn't hold a lead in game two. That's why they couldn't take a lead in game one. And that's why they couldn't hang with us tonight, even though this was only our second best and kind of a distant second best game out of the three that we've played in the series. It wasn't nearly as good as we played in game two, but it was significantly better than what we played in game one. So, but yeah, there's no way that I look at this and go, the only reason we're in it is Freddie. The only reason we're in it is name any position player. It's been by committee. Some guys are pulling weight on more night than others, and then that changes as you get down the road. But there's no way that the Islanders should have more than maybe one win, and that would be game one.
Yeah, so here's my last question. And I think you guys, we might all agree on this. Who do you start for game four? I say Kachekov.
I say Kochekov.
I'm gonna say Freddie.
Really?
I'm gonna go with Freddie. I was thinking Kachetkov before the game started. I think I said it on the live stream. I'd go with Kachetkov with you, Brandon, earlier.
Yes.
But Freddie played outstanding today. I don't know how you can't give him the game. I don't know how you can't give him the opportunity to close that, I guess is what I'm saying. You give it to Freddie. You lose if Freddie loses. I give Kochetkov game five. If you lose that, then you give Freddie game six and close it out in Long Island. But I don't think we're gonna get to that. It's not coming back to Long Island.
Yeah. So I would when me and Griff were talking about this earlier too, I would give game four to Kochekov from a maintenance slash resting standpoint for Freddie,
Yes.
because we all know that Freddie has had his difficulties staying healthy. This is a good time to let Kochekov get in there and get his. It'll be his first playoff game in a couple of seasons. And at some point, if we make a deep enough run, Kochekov is going to have to play. Freddie at some point is going to have a bad game and get pulled. So there's no way you go through the entirety of the Stanley Cup playoffs and that not happen. So I'd say go ahead and let get Freddie have game four. Or I'm sorry, excuse me. Could let Kochekov have game four. Freddie didn't do anything wrong, but just tell him, hey, rest your bones. We'll get this done. Because if Carolina wins the next game or the game after that, I imagine that like it's going to be a similar amount of time off anyway, and they're going to come back in a little bit cold and they're going to look flat to start whatever the next series is. You might as well go ahead and give Freddie the extra day of rest.
I respect and understand that. I guess for me, I've played goalie. If I'm Freddie, I don't want to not play. I don't want the opportunity to close it out. I want the opportunity to close it out. Like, I got us this far. I won us, I might be looking at it as I won us game three. I want the opportunity to win game four. And I would say if Freddie has a poor game in game four, if he lets in like three bad ones, then I would just pull him and put Kochetkov in for the rest of that game, and then you start Kochetkov game four. But I can't. I won't be surprised either way, because I think it's possible Rod treats it as a back-to-back because you only it's an early start Saturday, I believe it's 2 o'clock.
Yeah,
So,
2 o'clock.
and I think Kaniak Sessions, when they had a guy from the Islanders podcast on, said the Islanders suck at those abnormal start times, so.
Yeah, and then I also understand where you're coming from with the perspective of being a goalie, because I know there's some of them that they do not like to have a lot of time off because, I still play, so I know a bunch of them and everything. And there's one that I know. So when we went to play in this veterans tournament up, and it was actually at Hollydale Ice Arena where Tony D'Angelo grew up playing, the first game of it was, and then we went and played in the Flyers practice facility that wasn't too far away right after that, and we had our one goalie in, he pulled something, the other guy got clocked in the head with a puck, and he's like, hey guys, I'm feeling kind of dizzy, so we pulled him out and put the other one back in, and the entire time we get back in the locker room after the game's over, and he's telling us about how the entire time he was afraid he was going to hurt himself worse. He'd wish it, if he'd known that was going to happen, he just would have stayed in because he feels like whatever he was going to pull, he was afraid he was going to make it worse. So there's a lot of goalies that, it's a lot harder for a goalie to, not consistently play and stay fresh and stay loose and everything like that. Whereas when you're a position player, 30 seconds on, a minute and a half off, and you're back on again. So
Yes.
I understand where you're coming from having the experience of playing as a goalie.
Yeah, and I think that makes sense. I am impressed with Freddie's performance in this game. But like I said, I'm gonna be shocked if Kochetkov goes. But if I'm Rod, I ask Freddie and I'm like, do you want to go or do you want the game off?
I bet that's what happens.
You
Yeah.
ask him and you let him
I don't
decide.
think there's a wrong choice here, though,
Yeah.
ultimately.
No.
There just isn't.
It's not the same position that Wall was in when he made the choice to put Sorokin in net.
Yeah, it
Yeah.
really isn't. And you know, if we do put a check off in for game four and you lose, that's fine. You have games to win.
Yeah.
You have like three or four tries to end the series, and I think they can do it back here, so.
And considering the league's going to like the 1A, 1B thing kind of across the board, I think there's going to be a lot of teams, unless that they just have a definitively significantly better goaltending tan or goaltender in their tandem. I think everybody's going to have to start using both of them. It's just the game is way too arduous now.
Yeah, look, and I mean, let's
Colorado
remember,
doesn't have a goalie.
oh,
No, Colorado has a traffic cone.
but Colorado also has Nathan MacKinnon, so they will be just fine.
Yeah, that there is also that. True.
But remember, Carolina used to end 06. Gerber got starts, Cam Ward got starts.
That's
It
true.
was not just
Yep.
Cam Ward. Everybody thinks it was Cam Ward from, I think, game. Was it two or it was game two against the Canadians in round one? They thought it
Yeah,
was all
it was the
Cam
Habs
Ward.
series.
Yeah, they thought it was Cam Ward from then on. It's round one. No, it was not Cam Ward. Marty Gerber got some starts down in that in those playoffs.
I want to say it
Kochet.
was the conference finals was when Wardo basically started playing the whole thing, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I
because
think that's what it was.
I think Gerber got another start in the Montreal series, and I think he got a couple starts in the next series, maybe even against Buffalo.
That's the
And
way
then
I
it was
remember it.
really Cam Ward from most of that Buffalo series into the Stanley Cup Finals playoffs. So,
Plus Gerber got sick, so he
yeah,
had the
I mean,
flu or
so
whatever it was.
if you think Kochetkov is not going to play at all, that's a mistake you would play.
Yeah,
Yeah, he will.
definitely. Well, this was a fun episode.
Absolutely.
And yeah, it was fun. Brandon, how about you tell us where everybody can find you?
I am on X and I am on YouTube at The Warning Take. That's the only two platforms I have at the moment. I am looking to eventually expand to possibly Instagram and Rumble, I think. I haven't decided yet. I'm going to get some better software and then I'll be looking into doing that type of stuff.
Okay, yeah. So you can find Brandon on those platforms, and you can find us on Instagram and Twitter slash X, whatever you call it. We will see you guys after game four. It'll probably be that evening because it's an early game. Isn't that right, Sam? Probably. Probably
Yes, I think
that
about that.
evening we'll release the episode.
Yes.
All right. So yeah, we will see you guys then.
Thanks for listening to the Kaniac Report. Be sure to subscribe wherever you heard this podcast so you never miss a future episode. Can't get enough of the Kaniac Report? For more content or to connect with the Sams, check them out on Instagram and Twitter at the Kaniac Report. We'll see you next time.